Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to number 39, episode 39 of China Business Cast. And Shlomo and I are preparing before we start recording for our meeting again. Finally, we're going to be at the Rise Conference just a few days after this show goes live. So it's going to be exciting, and it's the second one in Hong Kong, and it's like I think one of the biggest tech events. You mentioned it in your blog post roundup about tech events in Asia. So it's exciting. Are you ready, Shlomo?
I'm definitely ready. Well, at least not packing wise, but except of that, I mean, I'm setting up meetings, I'm talking to people, I'm seeing which events I want to join. I'm joining your pub crawl on Monday evening. Guys, you should join that as well. So we're going to hang out together and I guess a bunch of other people, which I'm not sure who they will be, but I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be wild. I have been rescheduled.
How was it last year?
Yeah, it was just nuts. The way they do it is, like you mentioned, I'm one of the captains, the pub crawl captains. So they kind of give us a list of like 10 or 20 people that are in our group. And we get assigned a different bar in Long Kwai Fong and kind of the bar street of area of Hong Kong. And then it gets crazy because there's so many people from all around the world and all over Asia. So it's like WhatsApp and WeChat and everybody's just like trying to connect, and they give my phone number my phone is just ringing off the hook because there's people lost. And then it just gets the bar gets packed. And then I hope this year they told the bars, because last year a few of the bars didn't even know that there was this pub crawl, and they're like, what's happening? And all these people are coming, and it was pretty wild. And then of course the groups kind of merge and people kind of after a while go where they want. But, you know, we carry around a sign for Rise pub crawl and people are like connecting everywhere. And it's a good way to kind of kick off the conference.
That's cool. I'll see how it is. And as I told you before, I asked you to join your group, so it'll be fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll connect you. Can't wait to introduce you to some more people. And I hope even some listeners can meet us. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, if you're there at Rise, let us know. We'd love to meet you guys and connect. Definitely.
Okay, great. And then you got a new award, a little bit of your personal achievement here. I'm curious to hear more.
So I'm a capoeira trainer for the past, I guess, 7 months, something like that. A very beginner. Capoeira is a Brazilian martial arts. And last night was our belt ceremony, if I should call it that way. It's called Batizado, and I got my first belt. Yay!
Nice.
It's a green belt. That's the first one. It was a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. I go twice a week. And next year's next belt. So let's see.
Got it. Yeah, it's the first time I've heard of that, and it's great. I've seen some pictures, now that I think of it, of you doing some of this.
Well, we'll put some links or videos on the show notes.
Yeah, I want to see that.
So people would know what it is.
Okay, and now, what's up for number 39? What's our guest today, Shlomo?
Okay, so we got a guest from Beijing. I know Nixon Tsai from Beijing. He has a company that is running a high-speed electric bike company, which is very unique. It's not the small ones that in China that are very, very slow. This is high speed. They're getting to 110 kilometers per hour. So these are, they're not very fast. They're not like ultra fast, but they're very fast for an electric bike. And it was a really, really interesting interview, really interesting discussion. And I'm actually going to Beijing right after Hong Kong, and I wish I had time to go on those. Nathan invited me, so I hope at least one of those times I'll get to do that. It really looks like fun.
Yeah, maybe you can add it to the notes too, and people can check it out later, even after.
Definitely.
Awesome. So let's listen in.
Listen in. Dive in. So hello, everybody, and welcome to another China Business Cast. We have Mike here as always. Hello, Mike.
What's up?
Things going well?
Yeah, life is good, as usual.
Awesome. Great, great. And today we have Nathan C. in the show. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going, Shlomo? Hey,
very
Mike.
Good.
Hey, man.
Nathan is running a high-speed electric bike company, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But he's also a TV host and a voiceover artist. So this guy's not missing the cool factor here. Nathan, welcome.
Thanks, man. That's a very, very vibrant intro there. First I've ever heard of that. Usually people just go with the electric motorcycle thing. But yeah, cool. I've been researching. Okay, yeah, you've done your homework.
Cool. Yes. Well, we had trouble making an intro. You know, your electric motorcycle is pretty straightforward, but there's, like you said, quite a few things, especially here in China doing TV and things. First of all, how'd you get into the electric motorcycle business?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I guess, like you guys said, it's a really kind of random pairing, I suppose. But that's kind of the beauty that China gives to you. You know, those are the opportunities that kind of lay it out. And like the electric motorcycle thing, it's, I know you guys have spent some time here and you guys probably see it all over the place and you're thinking, yeah, you know, why another electric motorcycle, electric scooter kind of thing? It's for people kind of outside of China, it's a really kind of new item, new product out there. There's not a lot to go with. There's only a couple of other companies that are doing it. And basically what we just do is high-speed electric motorcycles, not so much the same stuff that you see kind of floating around Beijing and China, like $500, $600 US dollar sort of stuff. We're really trying to make it a vehicle. We're trying to make it incorporate all the safety that that is well-known with like kind of North American standards and stuff like that. But doing it out here in Asia where there's obviously less so. People here are always kind of about, at least on the business end, just pumping out as much volume as they can. And sometimes quality suffers. So we're just taking the whole, I don't know if you want to call it like the North American approach, but just building super high quality stuff and then getting it out there to the market. And I think people, at least here in Beijing, are beginning to change. They're able to see the quality when it's really there. And they're moving away from just kind of going cheap with like their cheaper stuff and bringing in, you know, they're just moving up the value chain, I suppose. They're getting wealthier. They're understanding more quality that goes into it. So this is a natural progression, I think, for electric bikes.
I bought this kind of how for, I got.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. It's a natural progression to go from $500-$600 US scooters all the way up to the next level. And what that next level is going to be is hopefully us.
Great. I actually bought my scooter when I was in Beijing for like $220 US dollars. So, wow. Yeah, that's not the same quality. And I guess prices have gone up since then. That was already 3 years ago, something like that, for nine
that's
months.
Not too bad.
Until it was stolen.
Okay. So that's good. So you got your don't full use out
your,
of it.
Don't leave your electric scooter on a weekend near the subway. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That is, definitely not high up on the list. But I mean, what was your feeling kind of riding that thing around? So I'm like, why did you buy it? Was it just kind of utilitarian, just something that, you know, going to and from, or like, what were your,
very,
what
very
your,
practical? It was very, very practical and very convenient and freezing cold.
Oh yeah. You're going in winter, man.
Did you get those gloves?
We got all the same stuff in our electric motorcycles, but adding in that level of like fun, the sense of community, that whole brand behind it, that's kind of what we're going for. So it's definitely on a similar utilitarian approach, but just kind of taking it up to the next level of adding that level of fun in there too. Like it doesn't just have to be a way to get to work and come home, man. You could, like most motorcyclists in stateside, it's a fun thing, right? Why not bring that kind of mentality to China and to Asia?
Exactly. So you've been running also another company for electric bike tours, and this Evo company, your company, grew from that one. But what made you decide to do the transition? I mean, we spoke about the value now, but what was the moment that you said, what was the thing that made you think, I think we need a new thing here?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And it really wasn't anything kind of business related. It was just like, I kind of wanted to have something to ride around myself. It was really kind of selfish, if you want to call it that. There was just nothing out on the market that was available at that price point and at that quality level. So I just decided to kind of make it. But yeah, I mean, you were talking about electric, my original company, Electric Bike Tours. They have been doing really well in terms of just kind of sharing the whole electric bike experience. I know you guys spend like quite a lot of time out here, but the rest of the world has no such thing as electric scooters or electric anything, right? At this point, I think electric cars are kind of coming up, but anything two wheel is still kind of, you know, under the radar. But it's just well, I originally started that one just to share the whole experience. It's a great way to get around town. Like you said, it's really convenient, really practical, right? And that's why you bought your electric bike. It was originally just to share that kind of feeling, that kind of freedom around the city with people coming in. So it wasn't really a natural, I got to make this a business sort of thing. It was a lot of friends just started coming to me and they said, oh, you got a couple extra spare bikes. Can I borrow it? Or can you show me around? Or, you know, it was a really natural progression. And that at some point, I just decided like, hey, I don't have time to show people around anymore. So I'm just going to hire a guy to do that. And that's where the whole like our business kind of came in. People were coming to find me just because I had spare scooters. And it turned out really well. Like we're still running it every summer and it's a lot of fun. It's great for kind of new tourists or people coming in maybe for the first week or two after they get settled in. They can just rent a bike or come on one of the tours and just zip around the city. But it was from that, like I've been playing around with electric vehicles for, I guess, since I got here about 10 years ago. And I've always just wanted something myself, like faster, bigger, safer, better brakes, you know, yada, yada, like a real motorcycle, but electric powered. And after having searched for like a couple of years trying to find something, there wasn't. So that's how Evo kind of progressed from Beijing Electric Bike Tours. I really wouldn't even say progress, but just personally, that's how I progressed from that particular business, sharing the experience to filling a selfish need for a bike of my own. And then really Evo wasn't a business idea that popped in my head. It's not like, hey, I'm going to make tons of money selling these bikes. It was like, I want my bike. I want to ride around with it. And after doing so, a lot of people started coming up and saying, hey, man, where can you buy that? I want one. It's cool. It's fun. It's environmentally friendly. It's quiet. It's easy to ride. And I'm like, well, yeah, I kind of built it. let me take your number down and I'll build you one.
I heard a lot of stories of entrepreneurs actually saying that they built their business out of their need and then it just grew because they knew the client best. They didn't have to research.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I figure if there's one guy like me, there's got to be at least a couple hundred more, a couple thousand more maybe. But yeah, it just grew from a selfish need. So I think it's a lot of fun too. So that's what keeps me going. But it was originally conceived just for myself.
Okay, cool. Interesting. Great. So then what kind of speeds do these do? I hear they're a little bit faster than the normal motorcycles.
They're pretty quick. They'll top out at about 130 kilometers an hour, which isn't, you know, it's not the fastest motorcycle in the world, but we kind of explain it as a very, very different riding experience. If you guys have like ridden a motorcycle before, it's a very natural progression as you go up to speed. With electrics, like imagine a Tesla, it's all that power at once and instantaneous. It's, I don't know, the best kind of analogy we can say is it feels like a slingshot. If you can imagine sitting in a slingshot and getting kind of pulled all the way back and then starting, that initial kind of snap is what gives you that really nice sense of acceleration. And then as it gets kind of to the middle point, it kind of starts slowing down. That's kind of what electric motorcycles feel like in a nutshell, I suppose. But it's a lot of it's something that you got to experience. Do either you guys ride? Like ride? Obviously, someone got your electric bicycle, but
no. Mike, I also had a large scooter in Israel of about 10 years ago, a little less.
Nice, like a Vespa or something, or
no? That was a Kymco. No, that was a Kymco.
Kymco. Okay, cool, nice. Yeah. And Mike, do you ride as well?
Pedal bike.
Pedal bike.
Like a mountain bike. You know, I got a little seat for my kid. And
all right, human power.
Do you get as fast as the electric motorbikes?
It's hard with a kid on the back.
extra weight, you know, slows you down. Aerodynamics. Cool. Yeah, but if you guys are ever out in, come out to the East Fourth Ring Road area, we'll rip you around. We try to do a lot of events and test rides and get people kind of more into the sport. So we're trying to do a lot of events like every weekend or every couple of weeks or so. So if you're in the area, swing on by.
Okay, cool. Definitely. So are these out yet? I mean, are they're sold and, you know, or are you just making them one by one and you're still testing stuff and, you know, you see what people are saying? I read an interview when researching and then it said that they're not out yet, but I don't know when this interview was from, so...
Yeah, I think it might have been an older interview. Shomo. Yeah, we've been in production for about a year or so. Like we spent the last 2.5, 3 years of just kind of prototyping, testing, making sure all the safety standards are in place, like design and all that. So for a long time, we've kind of just been under the radar. I don't know if you want to call it that, but just kind of working away in our workshop. And then the last year or so, we brought on a lot of team members that are really pushing the marketing and sales aspect of it and really kind of turning into a business. So we're still pretty early in terms of like the production, if you want to call it. So we're getting vehicles out there. We're getting a lot of feedback from our riders. We have a very, very tight-knit group of riders right now. So they're, you know, they love the brand, they love the idea, and we're using that obviously as a way to build ourselves up, but also get feedback on what we can improve for second, third, fourth models. So right now we are kind of
mass production.
Exactly. That's going to be the next step. And right now we're taking this opportunity that we're really close to our customers at the moment to really get a good sense of what stuff they're looking for in the new models. And then after we can take that information and bring it to mass production down the road. So, I mean, the dream is definitely to get it out there to kind of be the, I don't know, like, the Tesla of Asia, the Tesla of two wheels of Asia, if you want to call it, but
nice.
To start getting out there to different countries and different cities in China. I think it's, besides the whole environmental aspect of it, which is great for large cities and stuff, it's a really fun ride. It's more fun than gas. It's more exciting than gas. It's more instantaneous than like gas motorcycles. So it's really just educating people and teaching them that it can be cool.
I'm coming for a ride on my next visit.
You have to, Shlomo. You're gonna it's gonna blow you out of the water, man. Coming from an electric bike, you're basically a lot of our customers have come from kind of like where you are right now. It's like, oh, I ride an electric scooter or ride an electric bike. It's practical, it's utilitarian, I can go to work, but I want something like cooler, faster, funner. And guys who have never ridden a motorcycle before, we'll take them through like a 5 or 10 minute like training thing, and they could pretty much ride a ride our electric motorcycle. It's that simple. So it really kind of caters to guys like you who are not maybe the typical Harley bearded, you know, fat kind of, you know, motorcycle rider, but, you know, upscale, kind of techie, very entrepreneurial, and then get them riding. That's how we're trying to position it down the road.
Awesome. And So you've been in production for about a year. Maybe take us through the story, like, so people can understand, you know, the amount of effort and blood, sweat, and tears and more that went into this. Like, how long did it take to get it onto the market, and where are you now? So you're working on mass production and...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the story kind of draws back for almost about 4 years, but... It was the first 3 years, 2.5, 3 years or so that we were really just in hiding. I mean, not so much hiding, but it was that desire, like I mentioned, just to build something of my own. And me and a couple of friends, we just rented this workshop, and it wasn't a lot of money. I mean, China, real estate's kind of expensive here, so we couldn't afford like a massive garage or you know, to start off. It was just a small kind of workshop and finding the right parts, designing the right frames, finding the right components that'll fit within our system, engineering a lot of the battery packs, the lithium packs itself has to be very carefully designed. It was just a lot of like tedious stuff. It really didn't feel like work too much though, because at that point it was more for ourselves. Like, let's design this for something that we can ride. So we initially didn't have the whole business aspect in mind, and we were just, I don't know, dicking around, just having fun in our little shop. Like, after work or something, we would just come back and then hack at it and try something new and build another pack and test that. And it was exciting, but it didn't feel like work. And that went on for like 2.5, 3 years or so of just tweaking, tuning. What we did was, so a lot of our earlier prototypes, we built them, and then somebody would just want to buy them, and then we would just sell it to them. And that's kind of where the initial like business idea came from. It's like, okay, cool. Some people really want to buy this. And we also took it as each iteration, we mm-hmm. could kind of tweak and tune a little bit more. So like our first ones, we built off of, I guess, kind of more scooter-esque components, I guess high-end scooter components. And mm-hmm. we would utilize like scooter motors and scooter battery packs at the very, very beginning. And our feedback was like really, really helpful. It was like, okay, this sucks because it's too slow. It's too like heavy. It's someone bought it at the end. I mean, that's what they wanted to pay. They didn't want to pay too much more, but it was good for what he wanted. But for us, it was like, we need something faster. We took that feedback. We took that iteration, and we were able to go like, okay, this is not what we want. Let's for the next one, let's try to build something closer to what we want. Mm-hmm. And we went through, I don't know, like this is probably like our sixth iteration, if we want to call it that, like almost complete iteration.
Lean started
that, but yeah, it was like starting all the way from scratch again. Every 6 or so months, we would build a few, and then test it out, try it, play around, shoot some videos, you know, keep it for our little little storage, you know, just keep the videos for whatever down the road.
Were you always able and to then, sell it to sell them?
Yeah, surprisingly, we were able to sell all of them.
Wow.
Which is nice. I mean, that was also, I guess, from the business aspect, it really proved that there was a market.
Right.
You know, because coming into this, we weren't 100% sure. We were like, yeah, maybe like a couple of people have bought it, but could this be a mass market thing at this price point? And each iteration, it actually seemed like it got more and more expensive. So each iteration, we're like, ooh, can we sell this? And then we just drove it around and someone's like, oh, that's cool. How much? And then they ended up buying it.
But people see that they're electric and not, I mean, when you're driving, sometimes people don't pay attention. So people can really see this. And then like, I mean, after all, it looks like another motorcycle.
Right. And that's the trippy thing though, Shlomo. It's like, we get so many head turns, not because it's electric, but because it's looks like a regular motorcycle with no sound. It's really eerie. It's like you drive around down the street and people are expecting this noise or something down to it. Cause it's like a beefy looking bike. It's an aggressive looking bike. And then as it rolls by them, their heads kind of like turn. And we have tons of this video just shooting around, but people just turn and they kind of look at their friends around. They're like, what the hell was that? That's kind of, it kind of makes us feel good. We're like, hey, that's cool. Like we're turning heads somehow. It's not because we're super noisy. It's because we're super quiet. That's the whole trippy thing. They eventually, like they see it and they notice it because it's quite noticeable that there's no motor. There's no engine, I mean. Mm-hmm. So people are like, well, what is this? It kind of looks like a motorcycle, but it also kind of doesn't. There's something off about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when people start, they just come up to us or come up to like me or my partners and be like, hey man, what is that? Like, what brand is that? Is like most of the time, like most of our sales are just literally on the side of the street. Yeah. It's weird. Like, I'm just trying to think back. I'm going back. It's like we're hawking this stuff.
Yeah, that's
China. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got a little minivan and we're opening it up the back and selling them out by the dozen. But yeah, it just seems like it just naturally happens. We're just at somewhere. We're going to like coffee or something or, and then somebody will come up and just approach us and be like, hey, like, can I try that? Like, what is that? Can I try it? And then they're like, okay, cool. Can I buy it? It's good. I mean, imagine I do, but yeah, I guess our marketing channels haven't been really well regulated, I suppose. It's kind of just rent wherever we feel like we're going, and then we might sell one.
Got it. So why do you think that electric bikes are taking so long to take off? I mean, we're saying it's a promising technology, but you know, as you said, in the West, it's not really catching up. In Israel, as example, they're only very small bicycle with a small battery, and they're now, I don't know, they're now fighting over regulations. But what's your opinion on this?
Oh. Yeah, that's a good question, man. And I think it's really a range issue. Number one, I think it's a battery issue, which is definitely coming. I mean, every year our battery suppliers are getting more density, more electrical density put into their cells, which is awesome. The second one, I think, is maybe more the larger aspect is, I think, nothing like bad, but people are super brainwashed. Like the whole car, the whole gas thing. And honestly, I won't lie. I've been a motorhead for most of my life. Like I've been riding gas motorcycles and modifying cars for most of my life. And looking back upon that whole situation, everybody I think is super brainwashed. Can you imagine how dumb it would be? Like imagine your cell phone. If you had to like go out of your house, down the street, like 5 kilometers, line up, plug it in for 10 minutes just to charge up. It just sounds so stupid if you think about it, like filling up for gas.
Right.
Like, why can't you just plug in at home and then go to work? It just seems so much more seamless. Like, that's one aspect of it that we're really trying to unbrainwash people, I guess, in the sense of like, oh, gas is so convenient. You can just go down the street and fill up. But you got to go down the street. You know what I mean? It's not in your backyard. It's not in your house. It's not, you know, it's not like while you're sleeping, you're filling up. That's literally how convenient electrics are. And then right. I guess the other thing is like the peace and quiet. Like that's one thing that I thought I would miss. And looking back, like the sound of the motorcycle, the sound of the engine, that's the one that kind of gets people emotionally going. But being without it for so long, like the last like 3-4 years, you can hear so much of the city. You can be connected so well Wow. And I think it's a good safety issue. I mean, maybe safety is kind of the secondary thing, but it just feels like I'm connected. You know, I'm connected to Beijing while I'm ripping around, while I'm driving around. It's not like I'm in my own little bubble or zone mm-hmm. on my bike. But I don't know. It's a different experience. I think it's education, just unbrainwashing people. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. But once people kind of start getting that momentum going, they're like, okay, yeah, I see some of the benefits. I think the environmental thing is a total secondary. It's a good bonus. It's an awesome bonus. But I think people have to be sold on electrics are better first. And then mm-hmm. afterwards, oh, by the way, it's also good for the environment. You know, generally, it's good for the environment. So
you're selling a different experience. That's what you're selling.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, imagine just being able to ride your bike or whatever like that, and you can hear every pin drop around that city. You can hear every like horn, every conversation that you're passing by between two friends. You're so connected. I mean, it's interesting, but it's one of the things that a lot of people think that they'll miss, like that sound of the engine. But once you're on it, I don't think you do. I mean, I personally don't. I don't miss it at all.
Ask your clients.
Yeah, I should definitely. I mean, a lot of them they like the peace and quiet of it. But you know, I can't speak for everybody. I can only speak for who's bought the bike and our own team. But I think it's brainwashing, man. I honestly do. It'll come. It will come. I don't know when. I don't know if it's gonna be 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. But people will unbrainwash themselves and unravel themselves around this whole gas thing. It's like the Betamax VHS sort of stuff. You know, it's. Beta is a better system. It's just people didn't catch on. But mm-hmm. now this is going to be, I think, this is going to be completely different because we got guys like Tesla and Chevrolet and everything kind of pushing forward right now. So I believe now is going to be that time for Betamax to kind of take over.
Okay. Got it. Interesting. So it kind of answers my next question, but what's the next 5 years or what's your vision? I guess Betamax is continue to expand or?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be kind of putting our nose to the grindstone and keep pushing forward. You know, it's entrepreneurial life here in China has been interesting. It's a good opportunity to kind of learn stuff. And right now, my team is doing really well in terms of like the production and the sales and kind of getting constant movement forward. But what I've kind of been tackling the last, I guess, 2-3 months is really learning more about fundraising and kind of getting up to the next level. If you want to call it that, and trying to bring in outside investment and kind of more sizable institutional investors on board with the project. So that's another awesome thing that I don't think I'd have the opportunity to do so if I was back home, but just being able to learn and have this opportunity to be able to pitch a project at this magnitude, at this potential and how to do it. You know, it's a lot of challenges with obviously meeting them, getting the door open, figuring out what to pitch and how and what investors are looking for, you know, in terms of like projects. And I'm learning a lot. I'm learning tons, but that's my next kind of short-term plan. Like long-term over the next 5 years for Evoke is to take that outside investment and scale and create just this massive wave in Asia with helping unbrainwash people, getting people onto the experience of electric motorcycles. You know, that's what we want. That's what we want to do right now. And if we can get, you know, one more person on the bike, I'd be super happy that we've done something well. We can influence one person at a time. One person, one city at a time. Sorry.
Okay. Let's hope that our listeners are now unbrainwashed from listening to China Business Cast in this episode.
I hope so. I think the biggest unbrainwashed is when you actually sit on the bike and rip it around, because that's a lot of
fun. I guess
fun.
So. It's kind of wipe right now. I understand. So what's the best way to get in touch with you? Website, LinkedIn? How do you get to hear about the bikes? Tell our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. You can always hit us up on the website at www.evokemotorcycles.com or evokemc.com in Chinese. But I guess you guys know like WeChat is ubiquitous here. So WeChat's also a good way to go. You can search it up for evokemc and that'll kind of pop up.
In WeChat.
Yeah,
WeChat.
You can definitely check out on WeChat. Yeah. You can check out pictures there. You can check out our little blog posts and stuff, like half and half in Chinese, I suppose, half Chinese content, half English content. So we try to keep it mixed and international as much as we can.
Okay. Awesome. Nathan, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming to the show and sharing this really new vision. Really, really exciting. And we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Shlomo. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate the time, man. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thanks. Cheers.
All right.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry. China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.